How the price of tea in China affects how the global economy brews.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. China says it's going to work to cool down prices on goods in that country. The inflation rate there surged to 5.1% in November, far higher than Beijing's target rate. And after an annual economic meeting, the government said it's going to try to bring price hikes under control. The BBC's Shanghai correspondent Chris Hogg is with us now to talk about Chinese inflation and why it risks the global recovery. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
How fast are prices increasing in China?
By more than 5%, and that is way above the government's target of 3%. Inflation in November was at a 28-month high. Now, more than 90% of the increase year-on-year is down to food prices and the costs of utilities at home. Economists here say primarily the weather is to blame for that. But Michael Pettis, professor of finance at Peking University, says it's a real problem for the government.
Inflation is very heavily concentrated in food, and the poor consume a much larger share of their total basket in the form of food rather than the rich. And given the tremendous income inequality in China, that's become a very, very big concern.
So, Chris, what can the government do about it?
Well, it's very difficult. Higher prices in factories, for example, are being driven by higher commodity prices, the prices of metal, cotton. But it's not always clear why these are rising. The suspicion is people are hoarding both commodities and foodstuffs. Apart from clamping down on that, the options are raising interest rates, allowing the yuan, the currency, to appreciate, and tougher rules for banks. But those measures won't help food price inflation, which, as I said, is causing most of the problem at the moment.
And how does Chinese inflation, Chris, affect the rest of the world? Why should we even care about this?
Well, inflation concerns could prompt the Chinese government to allow the currency to appreciate faster. That would make Chinese goods on sale in the U.S. more expensive. But it would also make U.S. exports that compete with Chinese exports more competitive. So there's good news and bad news there. But above all, the world needs a strong Chinese economy, not one weakened by inflation, because China's a growing market for overseas goods.
All right. The BBC's Chris Hogg in Shanghai. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher at the moment, about 0.5% on average, Chinese inflation fears notwithstanding. Asian stocks were mixed today. Wall Street Friday, the S&P and NASDAQ added an average of 0.5%. The Dow rose 40 points to end the week at 11,410. The social networking site Twitter is reportedly planning to set up its first European headquarters in London. And the British government is rolling out the red carpet to attract that company to the UK. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The British government has bent over backwards trying to lure Twitter to London. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, entertained Twitter executives in his official residence last week. He's hoping the site will boost a pet project of his, a so-called tech city in the British capital, a mini rival to Silicon Valley. Twitter won't confirm that it is coming to London, but Rupert Neat, technology correspondent with the Daily Telegraph, has been reading between the tweets of Twitter's head of development.
She tweeted last week about how excited she was to meet the Prime Minister, and she even asked her husband, can we move to London, please? I love it here.
London is one of the top 10 cities for Twitter users, but Prime Minister Cameron isn't one of them. Last year he admitted that he doesn't tweet. The trouble with Twitter, he said, is too many twits. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at AllyBank.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Senate votes today on that tax deal worked out between President Obama and GOP leaders. It'll likely pass that chamber, but the House is a little harder to predict because a lot of Democrats are angry over concessions the White House made to Republicans concerning taxes on the wealthiest Americans. Now, forget about high-income earners and their tax rates. There's also this business of the estate tax. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here to talk about it. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Update us on where we are in the estate tax debate.
Well, where we are is there's legislation pending that would adopt a new set of rules effective the beginning of next year, making estates of $5 million or less tax exempt.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There's been no inheritance tax or estate tax, if you will, in 2010, right?
That is right. But at the beginning of next year, if nothing happened, the estate tax would come back the way it was in 2000.
And what changes, Alan, after the first of the year?
Okay, the value in the compromise, the Obama-Republican compromise, is a $5 million estate and a tax rate of 35% on everything above that, and that would affect roughly 3,600 estates a year. That's what we're talking about. Whereas, had people with that kind of money had the good sense to die in 2010, there would be no estate tax.
How much interest, Alan, do you think people have in this? Does the average Joe really care about estates? I mean, most Americans don't have estates, right?
Well, you see, you know that, and I know that, but most people don't know that because over the years, the estate tax has been changed to the death tax, which makes it sound like it applies to everybody who dies, and it doesn't. It's an example of the triumph of propaganda over reality.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, if you're interested in going to space, but you don't have the seeming gazillions of dollars to get there on a private craft, well, there's a cheaper option. Send a digital photograph of yourself. Joe Luttrell is selling packages that will be included in an April launch of a rocket 70 miles above the Earth, which is technically space. For $4.95, the Photos to Space package includes a launch image, stats about the rocket, a way to watch the rocket lift off, and of course, a certificate of authenticity that your photo made it to space. Luttrell's only sold 100 so far. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In China, what the government wants, the government takes.
Where can I live now? Nowhere. When they pull down my house, I'll camp outside the local officials' homes and live there.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Urban sprawl takes on a whole new meaning when the government takes your house. That story and the numbers next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.